Well, good afternoon, brethren. It's wonderful to see all of you on God's Sabbath day today. Brethren, a new form of an old character trait and a habit has entered into the modern era in the age of social media. This habit has a name which has been adopted by many conservatives against the actions of many liberals in today's social media outlets, especially in Facebook and in Twitter. The name of this habit and character trait is virtue signaling. Virtue signaling. The Cambridge Dictionary defines virtue signaling as the attempt to show other people that you are a good person. For example, by expressing opinions that will be acceptable to them, especially on social media. It further states that virtue signaling is the popular modern habit of indicating that one has virtue merely by expressing disgust or favor for certain political ideas or cultural happenings. British author James Bartholomew used the term virtue signaling in his article in The Spectator in April of 2015. And its use has exploded during the past 3 years. The term has become commonly used as a pejorative term by conservative commentators to criticize what they regard as empty and superficial support of progressive or liberal political views. Again, social media platforms today are full of virtue signaling. Meaningless, vacuous actions which have the intent and purpose of showing one's own righteousness and virtue to others, to the whole world, without having to really do anything. Some of the many examples of Facebook, on Facebook and on YouTube, are even quite humorous because of their blatant hypocrisy and insincerity. We may laugh at that. Yet, brethren, in our spiritual lives, can we find ourselves doing the same thing? In my sermon this afternoon entitled, Are You Virtue Signaling in Your Spiritual Life? Are you virtue signaling in your spiritual life? I'd like to explore 3 points concerning the human trait and characteristic of virtue signaling, its examples in the Bible, and why we need to eliminate and avoid this behavior in our spiritual lives. The first point concerning virtue signaling in our spiritual lives is that virtue signaling is a form of hypocrisy. Virtue signaling is a form of hypocrisy. You know, virtue signaling is full of hypocrisy, an hypocrisy that many others quickly can see, but it remains almost totally unseen to the virtue signaler. A few examples of the hypocritical nature of virtue signaling include a new congresswoman recently tweeted that members of Congress should have some integrity. They should have some integrity and not take any salary during the government shutdown. She ended her tweet with exclamation points and everything. Have some integrity. Yet she herself has not refused to her pay and her salary. The congresswoman announced her righteous indignation of other congressmen and congresswomen taking a paycheck during the government shutdown, all the while accepting her own paycheck. In 2016, a famous British actress exclaimed during a TV interview concerning the refugee crisis in Europe and in Britain that she would accept refugees in her home and bemoaned the fact that other people would not accept refugees. They needed some place to stay into their very homes. Yet as of today, 2 years later, she has accepted no one into her home. Cornell University and the University of Michigan researchers found that people who expressed the most concern publicly about climate change were less likely to recycle, less likely to take public transportation, and less likely to use eco bags than the skeptics who do not believe in climate change. Their actions do not follow their words. In short, virtue signalers boast self-righteous words and themes, but by their own actions, they don't abide by the very words and judgments and statements that they make. Virtue signaling is just another form of do as I say, not as I do. Please turn with me to Matthew 6. We'll be in the book of Matthew quite a bit today. Matthew chapter 6. During his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ openly showed the hypocrisy and the virtue signaling of the scribes and Pharisees, though at this time, Jesus did not specifically mention them by name. I think everyone knew whom he was talking about. That comes later in his ministry where he calls them out by name. Yet the multitudes knew, I think they knew who Jesus was talking about. Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the street, that they may have the glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret himself shall reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." You know, the scribes and the Pharisees were virtue signaling in the way that they gave their alms and their tithes. They did it publicly to be seen of others so that they would appear righteous in what they were doing. The scribes and Pharisees were virtue signaling in the way that they prayed. They prayed publicly and made a big spectacles of themselves as they prayed to be seen of others so that they would appear righteous in the eyes of others. And Jesus said that in both cases, they had received their reward. Please turn with me to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. You know, after 3 years, basically 3 years later, Jesus confronted the scribes and Pharisees directly concerning their virtue signaling and their open hypocrisy in their religious lives. And we read that starting in verse 1 of Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 1. "Then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but don't do after their works, for they say and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, and they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They wore those as basically medals to be shown to people, and love the uppermost rooms at the feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi." Then we'll skip down to verse 13. Jesus then turns his attention to the scribes and Pharisees directly. And he begins in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! He tells them they are hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Skip down with me to verse 23, where he just keeps laying right into them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, and within they are all full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and the outside of them may also be clean. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are all within full of dead men's bones, and are all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men. Again, virtue signaling. But within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if I had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of Gehenna fire? Jesus did not mince words, brethren, with the Pharisees and with the scribes. He knew their heart, and he knew the true depth of their hypocrisy toward God. And Jesus knew that many of them were in danger of losing their very spiritual salvation. The scribes and the Pharisees did the right things for the wrong reasons, which in the end is sin. It's just wrong. Please turn with me to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. You know, hypocrites who practice virtue signaling enjoy telling others their faults, what they're doing wrong, how terrible they are, and how to correct them while doing nothing about their own personal, moral, and spiritual failures. Jesus had something to say about such people. In Matthew 7 and verse 1, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, Christ said, "Judge not that you not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, and consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of your eye,' and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye." Brethren, do we fall into this hypocritical category? Are we busier trying to judge others and to correct others? And we're so busy doing that that we're not busy enough correcting ourselves. Do we find that we try to be virtuous by showing what's wrong with others? That's virtue signaling. So, brethren, when we do virtue signal, we are committing the sin of hypocrisy. The second point concerning virtue signaling in our spiritual lives is that virtue signaling results in empty words without action. Virtue signaling results in empty words without action. Please turn with me back to Matthew 23. And we'll reread the first few scriptures to reiterate the emptiness of the words without actions. Matthew 23 and verse 1. We'll read the first four verses. Then Jesus said to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe and observe that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not." And in verse 4, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." There was no action. There was no action. It was just words that they enforced on others. Jesus was telling the multitudes and his disciples that the scribes and the Pharisees were enforcing stringent and burdensome requirements on others, yet all the while not performing those requirements themselves, hence not moving them with one of their fingers. Please turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. The Apostle James describes here an excellent example of virtue signaling. James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 14. James wrote, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" And in verse 15, "If a brother or sister be naked, or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, 'Depart in peace, be you warmed and filled,' notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone." And this example is virtue signaling. The person who simply says, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," to the person who is hungry or naked and cold, is just saying empty words to appear righteous and virtuous, as if the words by themselves will remedy the problem. The person did no action whatsoever to help the other person in need. Brethren, do we find ourselves doing sort of the same thing in our own lives? How many times do we tell brethren that we're going to pray for them, and we never do? You know, that's virtue signaling. When you sit there and you say publicly to someone you're going to do something, and then you don't do that, that's, in a way, virtue signaling to that person. Because what will appear pious and caring at the time may make the guy or the lady feel good, may make you feel good, may make us feel good, but we don't act. We don't follow through. You know, there is no action or substance in that. We say the words, and then we forget and put that need out of our minds. How many times do we see a need in the church or a need in the world? And instead of being an army of one and addressing that need, doing something about it, we instead talk to someone about how much we care and how much we care that need should be taken care of. You know, that's virtue signaling. That's just saying words. It's not doing anything. We're showing our virtue in that we see the need and we talk about that need. And we show others that we do indeed piously see the need. But we don't do anything to help remedy that need. How many times do we volunteer to do something and then we don't follow through? Maybe we volunteer very publicly in front of everyone. However, because sometimes life happens, we can't fulfill sometimes our obligations. But however, do we volunteer in public and in doing so appear righteous or virtuous only to not follow through and fulfill our obligations in a much less public setting? That, brethren, is virtue signaling. We publicly appear virtuous to others, but do not follow through with the actions that others are thinking that we will do. Please turn with me to Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, where we will read a story that Jesus told of two sons. You know, one of these sons was guilty of virtue signaling. Matthew chapter 21, and we'll read beginning in verse 28. Christ said, "But what do you think? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work in my vineyard.' And the son answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and he went." And in verse 30, "And he came to the second and said likewise. And the son answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said unto him, 'The first.' And Jesus said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.'" And he was talking to the Jews at the time. You know, the second son committed virtue signaling. He openly said that he would go work in the vineyard. And probably he received praise from his father, especially since the first son had told his father previously that he wasn't going to go. But the second son did not go. His words were empty. He did not follow through with the promise that he made to his father. And in the end, he lied to his father, and he did not do his father's will. Brethren, is our word our bond? If we say we're going to do something, if we have made a commitment to others, do we always, always follow through? Do we always do and fulfill that obligation? This is a basic tenet in Christian integrity. Please turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, where we will read about a famous future judgment by Jesus Christ. For those of you, again, I think I've said this before many years ago, many of you have been in the choir many, many decades ago. We used to sing the song, "Come Ye Blessed," and from this Matthew 25, these very verses. Matthew 25 and verse 34. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, 'Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me.' And then shall the righteous answer unto him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you?' And the king shall answer and say unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me.' Then shall he also say unto them on the left side, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. Naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do this to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Brethren, the people on the left side of Christ never acted on the needs of others. They most likely saw the needs of others. They might have even talked about the needs of others, but they were never spurred to action. They might have even publicly verbalized that somebody and something should be done to help the suffering people, the people that needed the need or needed, they had needs that needed fixing. Brethren, as we are living our lives right now, today, which side of Christ would we be on? The right side or the left? Please turn with me to Mark 7. Mark chapter 7, where we will read where Jesus quotes a scripture from Isaiah 29 and verse 13. This seems to be the pattern of the history of mankind in its relationship with God throughout the millennium. Mark 7, beginning in verse 6. He answered and said unto them, Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. You know, spiritual virtue signaling is the opposite of what God desires and requires from us. Virtue signaling makes a good showing. It makes a great righteous outward show. It may even honor God with their lips. But the honor and praise are empty words with no action, which would have been stirred up if they had used God's Spirit. The heart of the spiritual virtue signaler is not to do God's will. So, brethren, virtue signaling results in empty words without actions. The third point concerning virtue signaling in our spiritual lives is virtue signaling is an expression given from convenience. Virtue signaling is an expression given from convenience. Brethren, God's way of life is not a convenient path to travel. Keeping God's Sabbath day holy and special, keeping God's commandments, keeping God's holy days, honoring God through obedience to His laws, showing love to others through actions, sacrificing your time, your money, your talents, and your abilities to serve others. None of these tend to be convenient in our lives. Again, virtue signaling is convenient because it requires no real action. It is quite convenient. That's why so many people do it. This is why the social media platform is so conducive and so full of virtue signaling today. It is so easy to spout out virtuous opinions about subjects while doing nothing in reality. The way of life that Jesus preached to the multitudes and taught to his own disciples was an inconvenient serving way of life. And that way of life is the opposite of virtue signaling. Please turn again with me to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. While Jesus was still talking directly to the multitudes, he instructed them to be humble servants of others. You know, being a servant to others is not convenient. It usually is not convenient. The needs of others do not come at convenient times in our lives. In Matthew 23 and verse 11, Christ stated, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Are we servants to one another? Please turn with me to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. On Passover evening, just hours before his trial and ultimately his crucifixion and death, Jesus had to contend with his disciples, arguing and disputing among themselves who was the greatest. Christ's response to them put down any virtue signaling that they were showing. And we read this in Luke 22, starting in verse 24. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that does serve. And whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves." Christ's own example was to be a server. Jesus showed that we must serve one another, and that service to one another means action, not just words. It means action. It means inconvenient action at inconvenient times in inconvenient ways, not just pleasant words and not just convenient words. Jesus' actions throughout his ministry exemplified his compassionate, loving, and unselfish service to others. Please turn with me to Matthew 9. You know, Christ was human. Christ grew physically tired. He grew physically weary. He needed sleep. But Christ always showed compassion on others, even when he was tired, even when it was not convenient for him. In Matthew 9, beginning in verse 35, Matthew 9 and verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." He was probably tired. He was doing this day after day after day. And in verse 36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes," the people were still coming. They still needed help. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Please turn with me to Matthew 14, just a few chapters further back. Matthew chapter 14. Jesus had just heard the news of the execution of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was his cousin. He was family. He was saddened by that news. It really affected him. Jesus wanted to grieve because of the loss of his family member. And he loved him very much. He wanted to be alone. He wanted to depart into a desert place. But the needs of the people kept him from that. What was his response to this terrible inconvenience? In Matthew 14 and verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, the execution of John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. He wanted to be alone. He wanted to grieve. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And what did he say? He said, oh, no, not again. I just want to get away. He was moved with compassion toward them. And again, he healed their sick. In verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go to the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said unto them, they don't need to depart. Give them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them thither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. And he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So it was a huge, huge group of people that had come. And he had compassion on them. They were hungry, and he fed them. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. He finally got the opportunity to be alone. But before that opportunity, he was willing to put that off to help the people. He was moved with compassion. Christ did all this for the multitudes, all the while wanting to get away by himself. Brethren, do we serve only when it's convenient? Do we virtue signal instead of being inconvenienced? Again, serving others is inconvenient, but service to others is needful, both for the one being served and the one who is serving. So, brethren, we have explored 3 points concerning virtue signaling in our spiritual lives. Point one, virtue signaling is a form of hypocrisy. Brethren, are we hypocritical in the way that we live our lives? With the way that we treat other people? With the way that we obey God? And in the way that we have a relationship with Him? Point two, virtue signaling results in empty words without action. Brethren, are we men and women of our word? Is our word our bond? Do we tell empty words to others? Are our lives more form than substance? Point three, virtue signaling is an expression given from convenience. Brethren, do we serve God and serve one another only in the convenient times? Only in the public times? Only when we can be seen by others. Brethren, the world today treasures form over substance. It's the way of the world. The mere appearance of virtue or righteousness is equated with virtue and righteousness. Unfortunately, we are all products of the world. However, God has called us to a different path. Brethren, let's strive to eliminate all pretense and hypocrisy from our lives. Let's strive to replace all of our empty words, all of our empty platitudes, all of our empty promises with real and meaningful action to fulfill the needs of others. And let's strive to serve one another always, and to have a willing heart to do so, even in the inconvenient times. Brethren, let's replace our virtue signaling with virtuous doing, so that we will all hear in the future the wonderful words from our Lord Jesus Christ. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you.